Now, having known that a word is a structured word, just like other languages, Arabic is not different. وَأَقْسَامُهُ ثَلَاثَةٌ. It's divided into three. That's a word is divided into three. Three things comprises of a word. Anything that is a word is either of the three things we are going to mention. Number one, ismu, a noun, which is popularly known as a name of anything. وَفِعِلٌ, and then a verb, an action. وَحَرْفٌ, and then a particle, letters. جَاءَ لِمَعْنًا, letters that can give a meaning when joined with another thing. Now, you know, it's a kind of difficult for us to differentiate between a noun and a verb at most time. How do we differentiate between a verb and a noun and then a particle? It's very, very simple. From the definition, you can do that. A noun is a name of anything. Why? A verb is an action done or action given. What I mean by action given is like a command. When you're commanding someone or you're requesting something from someone, that is a verb. So even from that, you can differentiate. Let's say, for example, ذهاب. For example, ذهاب. ذال. After دال, ذال. How? Alif mad and ba will give you ذهاب. ذا كسرة ذ. How? Fatha ha. Alif mad, ذهاب, and ba, dhammabu, will give you ذهابُ. ذهاب means going. Is the name of that action, going. Why ذهب? ذهب, ذهب, and ba, ذهب means he went. That's a past tense. So from the both words, you denote that the first one is the name of that action, ذهاب, going or to go, the act of going or to go. Why ذهاب means he went? It means this is a work he has done. This is how to differentiate between a noun and a verb from meanings. But in Arabic, we have points, we have key points to note that to differentiate between noun and verb for you. Those key points are fatha, kasra, and dhamma, how they are placed, and whatever enters them. Those are the things they are going to mention for you next. So he said, فَالْإِسْمُ يُعْرَفُ بِالْخَفْضِ. A noun is known by the following that they are going to mention. When those things are available in any given word, don't doubt it, just know that it's a noun. The first one is al-khafdi. What we mean by al-khafdi is kasra. Any given word that would take kasra at the end of that word is a noun. Kasra will be at the end. Mind you, let me tell you this one again if you've forgotten. When we are talking about fatha, kasra, and dhamma, we'll be talking about them at the end of each word, not at the beginning and not at the middle. We will mostly be talking about them at the end of each word. So, for example, what we say, majlisi ay dhahaba ila al majlisi. That majlisi, he went to a gathering. That kasra there at the majlisi denotes that it shows that that majlisi is a noun. Because if it was to be a verb, it cannot take that kasra. So that is what we call al-khafdu. Al-khafdu is al-kasra at the end of any given word. The last letter, when it bears kasra, it means that word is a noun. That is one of the signs. Another good example is Nama Umaru ala al-kursiyyi. Umar slept. Umar lies. He lies like to relax. Ala al-kursiyyi, on the chair. So al-kursiyyi here is a noun. Why? Because it carries kasra at the end of it as the last letter, which is ya, al-kursiyyi. That is number one. Then number two, the second sign is at-tanwin. At-tanwin. What we mean by at-tanwin is nunation. We call it nunation. Why do we say it's nunation? It's when you pronounce a word that does not have nun at it. At the end of the day, it ends up to sound the nun. For example, kitabun, kitabun. When you say kitabun, you are pronouncing nun at the end of kitab simply because there is dommatan at the end of the letter, which is ba. So you don't pronounce it kitabun. That nunation, that's nun that you pronounce at the end, is the tanwin there. In other words, when we are talking about tanwin, at tanwin, what we mean by at tanwin is either fathatan or kasratan or dommatan. Double fatha or double kasra or double domma. That is at tanwinun. So kitabun, a book. And at tanwin, as you know, is indefinite article. At-tanwin means indefinite article, which is like a. When you pronounce a word with at-tanwin, the word is unknown until and unless you explain. So that is at-tanwin. But then that is not our concern here now, because we are going to go there. We'll treat at-tanwin on its own. Here, what we are talking about is signs of a noun. Now, the first one is al-khafdu, which is kasra. The second one is at-tanwin, which is fatatan or kasratan or dommatan. So anytime you find fatatan or kasratan or dommatan at the end of a word, then that word is a noun. The third one is duhul alif wa lam. We call it al-mu'arraf. You can call it al-mu'arraf or al-ma'rifa. Anyone you decide to call it. You can say al-mu'arraf or al-ma'rifa. Al-mu'arraf or al-ma'rifa is the alif and lam that enters any given word at the beginning. That's not hard. Al-mu'arraf, it's alif and lam that enters any given word at the beginning. For example, let's say al-waladu, the boy. Al-waladu, the boy. So that alif and lam that is at walad, that is before walad, is the al-mu'arraf or al-ma'rifa we are talking about here. Whenever you see alif and lam in a word, it signifies that that word is a noun. Number four, we have huruful khafdi. Huruful khafdi. Or al-jarri. In some books, we call it huruful, we call them al-jarri. And then in some book, we call it al-khafdi. Now, you don't need me to tell you the meaning of al-khafdi again, because I already told you al-khafdi is kasra. Now, what they are telling here is the letters that will cause that kasra to be at the end. So, whenever those letters also comes in a sentence, it signifies that that word is a noun. What are those letters? Mim. Which means from. We have ila, that is to. We have an, which is on. We have ala, which means upon. We have fi, which means in. We have ba, which means with. We have kaf, that means like. We have lam, which means from. Yeah. So, we have min, ila, an, ala, fi, ba, kaf, and lam. Those letters are huruf al-jarri or huruf al-khafdi. Whenever they comes before a noun, that noun is bound to take kasra at the end of it, which is the last letter. It must take kasra, unless if certain circumstances acted upon it, and that is very far from us now. Let's take it as the kasra must be there for now. So there are more to it, but for the beginners, this is what you need for now. So I would like everyone of us to memorize them and know them with their meanings, because it's what is going to aid us in explaining much better, so we don't continue asking questions repeatedly. Now, huruful khafdi awil jar, whenever you meet them in a word coming before a noun, coming before a word, if you meet them in a sentence coming before a word that will come immediately after them is a noun without asking. Then we'll go to the next one. Huruf al-Qasmi, number 5. Number 5, Huruf al-Qasmi. Don't mind me as I'm doing the audio record I'm writing. So I would send the pictures so to make it much more easier for you. So as you are listening to it, you'll be looking at it. Huruf al-Qasmi. What we mean by huruf al-Qasmi, they are letters of taking an oath, like letter of swearing. For example, we have waw. Waw. A good example of waw is, like we say, wallahi. Wallahi. In number two, we have ba. We say billahi, billahi lazi la ilaha illa huwa. Number three, we have ta. We say tallahi. Wallahi, tallahi, billahi. Uqsimu bi rabbil ka'ba. So, those three letters, waw, ba, and ta, they are huruf al-qasmi. They are letters of taking an oath. So, whenever they come, whenever you see them in attached to a word, that word is a noun. And how do you know that that ta or ba or wow that is attached to the word Allah Zuljalala is of swearing, you denote that by saying the Allah or the word having kasra at the end. That means it is denoting oath. So once you know that it denotes oath, then know that that word that is mentioned immediately after them is a noun, not a verb. You can see it's very, very simple. There are too many structures for you to differentiate between them. This is not found in any other language other than Arabic. Only Arabic has this structure. We mentioned four ways of differentiating between five signs of a noun. So take that for now. And then al-fi'lu. Now we'll go to signs of a verb. Sorry, once again, I like writing while I'm teaching, so it makes me feel comfortable. So see, alamatul fi'l. Alamat al-fi'lu. Alamatul fi'li. Now, alamatul fi'li. Okay, signs of verb. Or signs of a verb, anyhow you want to call it. He said, "Al-fi'lu wal-fi'lu yu'rafu biqad was-sin wa-sawfa wa-ta'i tanith as-sakina." They mentioned also four signs of a verb here. Number one, he said, "Qad." Qad means might. Might. And in another language, it also means, it doesn't just mean might alone, it also means another thing, which is successfully. Like when you've done something in the past and you successfully did it without doubt, you use qad. Qad fa'altu hadha, I've done this. So that qad, you feel the ta'kid. What we mean by ta'kid is assurance. It's giving assurance that what you are talking about has been done. When Allah says, qad aflaha man zakkaha, indeed, he who purifies it is successful. That's who purifies the heart is successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Indeed, he who darkens it and makes it dirty, that is the heart, has lost. So you see here, Allah is stating it with assurance, without doubt. That's why we say, قَدْ يُفِيدُ At-ta'kid. We'll get there. So this qad here, it means it is used in like three or four places in Arabic. But then what I want you to know here as beginners is that whenever you see qad coming before a word, just know that it denotes that that word is a verb. For example, qad aflaha. Qad aflaha. The presence of qad here tells me that aflaha is a verb. I don't even need to ask. Because there is no way you can say qad umaru. No. Once qad comes, the next word is going to be a verb without compromisation. Number two, another sign of a verb is as sin. As sin. Just let us sin. We might be asking, what do we mean by let us sin here? This let us sin here means will, it connotes future. If you do this take ball, it connotes future. For example, how? This sin, it is comparatively placed in the beginning of a word. It cannot be placed at the middle, not in the second, and not at the end. Because it's a letter, not a sound. We're not talking about fatah or kasra or doma here. This is a letter. If we are to be talking about fatah, kasra, and doma, we'll be talking about them at the end of the word. But when we are talking about letters here, the cod, the sin, they should be before any other thing. So once that sin comes, that thing that that sin is joined with is a verb. For example, sayalamu. Sayalamu. He will know. Ya'lamu is a verb. He will know. You see, this is an action that is going to be done in the future. Or it's either in the nearest future or in the far coming future. So sayalamu. Sataktubu. Sata'lamuna ghadan man al-kadhdhab al-ashir. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. We are going to sawfa now, sorry. This is sayalamun, sayalamun. We are in sin now. The number three, they mentioned sawfa. Sawfa is just like sin. But then sawfa is much more farah than sin. When we say sayalamu, it means he will know, but it's not going to be the time that they are anticipating him to know about it is not much more far than what it will be when we say sawfa ya'lamu. And then again, a good example is when we say sayaktubu. Sanaktubu. When Allah says in the Quran, sanaktubu ma yakuluna wa yakununa alayhim didda. Sanaktubu. If you look at sanaktubu, we will write, or we shall write. We shall write what they are, ma yakuluna, what they are saying, wa yakununa alayhim didda, and on the day of judgment, it will be against them, to be used against them. So you agree with me that mayal fizu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid. We have two angels that whatever we are saying, they are taking record of it. They write it immediately. So Allah is telling you, whatever you say, we will write it. Then does that mean it's going to be far before it's going to be long before they write it? No. Once you're saying it, they are going to write it. So it's just like a future. Whenever you are, whatever you are going to say tomorrow, there are angels that will write it. Allah is telling you, we will write it. But when Allah say, sawfa ta'lamun, summa kalla sawfa ta'lamun. That sawfa ta'lamun that Allah is talking about, is talking about the day of judgment. And a day shall come that they will know. They shall know what they have been disbelieving in. Sawfa ta'lamun. تعلمون سوف تعلمون فسوف تعلمون من يأتيه عذاب يخزيه أو يحل عليه عذاب مقيم. That is for the people of Prophet Salih or Prophet Hud, one of them, when he was telling his people, فسوف تعلمون من يأتيه عذاب يخزيه. We shall know between us who a punishment is going to come upon. And then, you know, at the end, towards the end of the message of the Prophet, the punishment came to them. So you see, it's
much more of a timely factor
that determines the difference between sin and sulfur, but they all mean the same thing. They all point to the future. Sin is more closer than sulfur. So if you want to use I will in something that you know it's going to be anytime soon, tomorrow, next week, you can say Sa'azhabu, I will go ila al-mustashfa yawm as-sabti, I will go to the hospital on Saturday. But when you know it's something that can happen maybe next year or two, say sulfa azhabu, I will go. So for someone who understands Nahu would know that you're talking about something that is not very close. So this is one of the things that makes us say there is no way you can understand the text of the Quran without knowing Nahu, without knowing the difference between sin and sulfur. And you see a translator just translated it will. And at the end of the day, you just take it as it was translated in that language. You won't know how to do the normal istinbat that is needed, the necessary extraction of laws that is needed in the text. Which is why you have to learn the nahw. So number three is sulfur. Sulfur ta'alamun. And number four, which is the last one, they said, wata ittanifi asakina. Number four, ta'utanis. Omibanta at-tanith is round ta. That is the ta you cycle and put dot on top of it. Ta utanis. No, not round ta. Sorry, not round ta. The round ta is a ta marbuta. This one cannot enter into a verb. It's also a sign of a noun. Sorry? So it's just like an addition. I would add some things to it. I just want to finish up what they have here. I want to exhaust what they have here. Atau tanis is opened ta. And why they call it tanis is because it carries sukun at the top. You must see that sukun. A good example of tau tanis is when you use it in a word and you pronounce it. Example, ja'at. Ja'at Fatimatu. Fatima has come. Fatima has come. Fatima has come, or you say, Fatima came. Ja'at, that ta is what we're talking about. I underline it. Ja'at Fatima tu. Fatima came or Fatima has come. Iqtarabat. Iqtarabat. Iqtarabat as-sa'atu. اقتربت الساعة اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. So that taskun is the tau tanis you are talking about here, underlined. What are we trying to point out here? The fact that tau sukun joins a word at the end denotes that that word is a verb and not noun. Anytime you see ta sukun ending a word, it is a verb. It's not a noun. So those are the four signs of a verb as mentioned by the author. Now we'll take the last one, which is signs of harf. Signs of particle. Alamatul harf. The great question here would be, do we need a sign for a harf? After explaining signs of verb, signs of noun, do we need a sign for harf? One would say yes, we need. But then, looking at it, a harf is already a letter. A letter is a letter. So how do you know a particle? Ma la yasluh lahu dalil. Or ma la yas, they said, ma la yasluh ma'ahu dalil. What does not need a sign? What does not need a sign? Or what does not connote dalilul ismi, the signs of a noun, wala dalilul fi'li, or the signs of a verb? If you look at a word, it doesn't have the signs of a noun. It doesn't also at the same time have the signs of a verb. Then it is a particle. Ma la yasluhu ma'ahu dalilul ismi. What letter, what anything that cannot work with the signs of a noun. Wala dalilul fi'li, and it cannot work with the sign of a verb, is a particle. But a simpler definition would be ma la yasluhu lahu alama. Whatever does not need a sign, it doesn't need a sign to show itself. So all you just need to do is just know that whenever there is a word, and even after pronouncing it and you understand the meaning, it does not give a complete sense, it's a particle. For example, ordinary wow, and which means and, ba, which means with. We're talking about the huruful jarri, which we gave as examples here. When they are standing alone, they are half. Don't be confused. Why they are signs in ismu here, they are not the one they are referring to. They are referring to the word that is after them. Any word that is after harful jarri. For example, minallahi. Minallahi. That Allah is what we are talking about here, not the mean. When we say kal kitabi, the kitab that is there is what we are talking about. What we are not talking about, the calf. So just get it right here. Here we are talking about the word that is after them. Why in the particle we are talking about them themselves? So if you want to take particle now, you can take all the huruful khafdi, min, ila, an, ala, fi, ba, kaf, lam. Join it with the waw, ba, and ta of the huruful qasmi. All those ones will give you particles. They are ordinary particles. They don't need sign because they themselves on their own, they don't give any sense. They don't make any sense of anything. When you say and what? With what? But when I say Umar, Umar is the name of someone. You know I'm talking about, you know I want to talk about somebody. Umar. Then the same way when I say Yazhabu, he is going. You know I'm talking about someone, I'm talking about an action taking place. But when I say wait, for those ones, they don't make sense. They are conjunctions. You bring them in to give a sense to something in a sentence. So, inshallah, these are what we have in the book here. We have successfully explained the anwa'ul kalam here. So next we'll be going to babul i'rab. But before we do that, remember I told you how we can have some additions to those signs. One of the additions we can have to alamatul ismi, if you go back again, is ata'ul marbuta, which will now give us number 6 from the sign. Ata'ul marbuta. Sorry, you're giving me problems because actually I'm not used to writing this way. I write in khat to ruk'ah, and then if I write khat to ruk'ah here, you will not see what I write. It should just look like all those doctors writing their hands. So it's what we use for fast writing and others. But let me just be managing and doing this, and I'm used to the other one already. Atawul marbuto. Atawul marbuto is a cluster. Cluster. Whenever atawul marbuto is found in a word, that word itself is a noun. Example, Fatimatu, Aishatu, Khadijatu. Example, Khadijatu, Khadijatu. Another example, Al-Madrasatu. Al-Madrasatu. This one is also a noun because of the presence of the ta at the end. There are many more to read, but then we would keep it here. Another sign you can add to alamatul fi'li would be whenever it is three-letter words, and then the last letter carries fatha, the first letter carries fatha or kasra, or the first letter carries fatha, the last letter carries fatha. Let me rephrase it again. Whenever you have a three letter word, the first and last letter carries fatha and fatha, that word is a verb. If I have, for example, Zahaba, that first letter is fatha. The last one is also fatha. Tha and ba. Zahaba. It means it's a noun. It's a verb. Sorry. So when we come to talk about verb and their kinds, we'll explain broader about this, inshallah. So I hope we would sit and listen to these clips. And after doing that, we try to memorize whatever we have here. It's not yet time for assignment because we'll start giving assignments with time, but then I would want us to try and memorize what we have here already. So let's be used to it. That's why we give that time. So you should be expecting the next class on Sundays. So by Sundays we'll do the second one, then on Wednesday again we'll do another one. So inshallah, by next Wednesday I will be expecting to start giving you assignment. Meanwhile, from this, anything that is not clear to you, feel free to drop the question through the normal process you do ask question in your previous classes, in your previous course you took here. Hadha, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sirimen, your teacher, your brother in Islam, Muhammad Al-Fatih bin Tasi' bin Abdul Qadir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.